So what were you doing in the early 70s?
Well,
Computers.
this is the real early 70s. So I was about, I was born in 1960. So I was still in middle school here. I had a tape recorder like that, I remember. But other than that, I wasn't really doing much with computers at the time. Probably not until you get into the mid 70s. So right about here. My high school was one of the, I was born and grew up in Denmark. And my high school was one of the first high schools to have a microcomputer. This is before there were any, or sorry, mini computer. They weren't really called micros, although, they probably, in terms of what they could do, were less than micros. But it was an HP 2100 with 32K of Ferrite core memory. You could actually open it up and, with a binocular, with a magnifying glass, see the little Ferrite cores, that were hand woven. And it had a 14-inch, 1 MB hard drive, kind of like that cartridge there. And we programmed it in Algol. And that's how I sort of, that was my sort of first introduction
So how old were
to
you when you
programming.
started
I
programming?
was probably about 17,
All
yeah,
right.
16, 17.
Cool.
And after high school, I graduated in 79, and then I started at the Technical University in Denmark. And I met some other guys, and we founded a company that sold microcomputer kit computers. Kind of like, well, there's I see a Trash 80 down here, or the TRS 80, which was, Radio Shack's Z80 based machine. We were selling a British kit computer called the NASCOM Z80. And I wrote all sorts of software for that, assemblers and disassemblers and
Wow.
plug-in extensions to the Microsoft ROM BASIC, that could renumber your lines and whatever.
Okay.
And ended up writing a Pascal compiler for it, which was really sort of the predecessor of Turbo Pascal. So it was a little, it had all of the same pieces, like an integrated editor and a compiler, and you could actually yank out the Microsoft ROM BASIC and stick in our Pascal compiler. And when you turned on your machine, you were sitting in this Pascal programming environment,
Huh.
and you could write Pascal code.
All right.
And that then grew into a sort of a more full-blown implementation for CPM, and then I hooked up with the Borland guys
Okay.
and built 16-bit version of that, and now we're over here.
Now we're over here in the
Yeah,
80s.
on a PC. They don't actually have one of the machine I used at the time, I remember, was a Digital Rainbow, which was a really interesting machine because it had two CPUs in it, both a Z80 and an 8088. With a common memory bus, so the system could actually run 8-bit and 16-bit software on the same machine. It
Wow.
had this dual boot CPM operating system, and then it would actually, when you ran an 8-bit app, for example, it would load it into memory, then it would halt the 16-bit processor, let the 8-bit machine run, and it would run the app, and then it would, transfer control back and forth. It was really cool
Definitely.
piece of hardware, and it was great for, because I was developing an 8-bit and a 16-bit version, I could do it, on the same box.
Excellent.
But of course the PC, yep, had one of those compacts there. I've actually worked on, ever since about, so just where am I at here,
Like
like
in the
mid
mid
80s, I
Exactly.
have worked on portables. So that's almost 20 years now.
Excellent.
Yeah, portables are great.
And have you ever worked on one of
I
those?
sure have. I have one of those.
All
Yeah,
right.
this is the old 128K Mac, I think. Yep, I wrote Turbo Pascal for the Macintosh on, well, I tried to write it on one of those,
Okay.
but there were no development tools for that thing. It was terrible. It was just awful. So you had to cross-develop either on a Lisa, which was equally terrible experience,
Okay.
or we actually ended up buying a Sun machine that had a 68K processor in it and Unix.
Okay.
And then we developed Turbo Pascal for Unix, which never shipped. But then we cross-ported that to the Mac. We actually wrote software that could serially download to the Mac and then boot it off on the Mac. And then bootstrapped ourselves onto the machine and then developed the rest in with the Pascal compiler itself. Yeah,
Amazing.
the dev tools for the Mac were really terrible. Yeah, I do remember that. That was a neat machine, definitely. And of course now it starts to get more contemporary,
Definitely. Now it's just popping up.
Yeah, I guess at this time, early 80s, now we're into, I was still at Borland at that time, and we were doing, all of the various versions of Turbo Pascal, and then by the mid-80s, or mid-90s, we did, I still remember that, actually, shipping the first version of Delphi, which was, you know, this development tool that was built out of all of the pieces of Turbo Pascal, but with, you know, a real GUI, GUI designer, et cetera, et cetera. You could build real Windows apps on it. And we shipped that. I remember the ship party, or the launch party was, it was in 95 at the Moscone Center in San Francisco. And it was on Valentine's Day, and wow. And still we had 3,000 people in the audience, you know, which just goes to show
really
that
surprise me.
yes, it's hard to get a date, isn't it? You know. So, what else do we have?
And there's
okay. Well, now we're getting to, you know, pretty much when I joined Microsoft, which was in '96,
okay.
Late '96, and when I first came on board, I worked on Visual J++, our development tool for Java, but very quickly sort of got sucked into this new thing that was starting to happen, you know, where are we going to go next with COM and COM Plus and all of these things, and sort of the early thoughts behind .NET,
okay.
which go back that far. And then ended up, I guess, in 98, late 98, we kicked off the C# language project. And I've been involved with that ever since, of course. And then also, I work as an architect on the base class libraries in .NET and so forth. So and yeah, I guess all of this is now we're definitely much more contemporary here.
Certainly.
Yeah. Look at that. Okay.
This is great. Yeah, and then we have our first Windows version.
Oh, look at that.
.NET.
With it. Yeah, I probably signed somewhere on that.
Right.
On that, I don't know where. But I certainly know some of the names. Yeah.
And there we have Longhorn.
Gosh, look at that! Longhorn's already in the museum, huh?
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems a little odd.
Yeah.